Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wings are extra spicy this week.
It's getting hotter. It's increasing.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
My body's like, this is poison.
The Fan.
I think my leg just cramped.
Hour number three here on a Football Friday. Appreciate you joining us, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's not that wonderful outside. You're right, Dusty. I concede. It sucks a lot more when it's wet.
See, well, yeah, it does. But at the same time, keeps the trees green.
It does.
Keeps trees green.
I hate when you and everyone else says that.
Well,
it's disgusting.
Is it wrong?
I'm just saying that the trees in California are still green and upright even when they catch fire.
No. No, it's far less green there. Mm. Far less.
I was just saying, they had the requisite level of water.
Do they? They ran out of water fighting
fire. No. The trees.
Yeah, but there's not as many of them. It's not as green everywhere else.
Fine, whatever.
What?
I just hate that saying. Just hate it. It keeps trees green. Doesn't make it suck any less.
No, it doesn't keep the trees green. It keeps it green around here.
No, whatever.
Everything. Keeps it all green.
Gross. We have beautiful. So much football to talk about. We've got one game holstered, the Chargers and Texans. I'll give you the roulette. Which game intrigues you the most in this menagerie of football games?
The divisional rivalry tomorrow night, Steelers-Ravens, mm-hmm. that's the biggest line of the weekend, mm-hmm. right? With a 9.5-point line. We already talked about Chargers-Texans, which I think is going to be a really fun game. It has the potential to be a great football game. But when you get Steelers-Ravens at night in Baltimore, and you have a Ravens team that we're going to start finding out how they stack up to the who's who, right? And the last time these two teams played, is Ravens kicked the brakes.
Jesus,
I mean, they kicked their butts against Pittsburgh. But I think that one, and then I think Commanders-Bucks has the potential to be a really fun game. I know that doesn't do much for anybody because it's not two sexy brands or teams. But when you think of, you have a rookie quarterback going down, first game as a pro was in Tampa, week one, and the growth that we've seen from Jaden Daniels and the growth that we've seen from this Tampa Bay offense, Tampa is playing at an insane level. That one, and then Packers-Eagles, that one does it for me. As does Bills Broncos, just because you have another rookie quarterback going on the road, cold environment. That one is pretty far down on the list because I think the Bills just absolutely work Denver. And then Vikings Rams is dead last, and it's on Monday.
You know?
Like that's dead last.
That feels like the game that actually should have been shoehorned into Saturday.
Yeah,
I know why it wasn't, but that's the game that probably should have been shoehorned into that. Maybe I'm going outside of the bounds here. Commanders-Bucks is the most fun, interesting game to me.
No, yeah, I have that number two because Tampa's offense has quietly become one of the best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And we didn't give much credence to the fact of early in the year, they were working through some things with Liam Cohen and Baker Mayfield just starting to get familiarized with each other because Dave Canales jumped from Tampa to be the head coach in Carolina. And Liam Cohen, and his mark on this offense has been massive. And this is, remember, Chris Godwin got hurt and he had that ankle injury mm-hmm. that he's not going to be back for the rest of the year. But it was like, oh boy, here come the wheels falling off Tampa Bay. And that early in the year, that Tampa team was on the struggle bus. It looked like Atlanta was just going to run away with that division because Tampa had four straight losses, one of them being to the Atlanta Falcons, and everybody was kind of in panic mode. Well, they finish off the season winning six of their last seven games, and in that stretch, regardless of how easy their schedule was, Their offense has been performing at a clip that is one of the absolute best in the NFL, and their offensive line has been outstanding. You look at Bucky Irving and his production as a running back. His rookie season, he's a 1,000-yard back, right? He's running hard. You have a 1-2 punch with him and Rashad White. Baker Mayfield is back there just slinging it, and that's without his number two target in Chris Godwin for most of this season. But you're seeing an offense that's operating efficiently and in command, right? If you look at the last seven games of the season where you need to be playing your best football heading into the playoffs, and they had zero margin for error as it came down to week 18, for them to even get into the playoffs, you're looking at a team that is efficient. They score in bunches, and it's really tough to defend when you have a solid running game. The offensive line is protecting Baker Mayfield, and now you're starting to see some of their targets. They're not dominant, but Mike Evans is.
Mm-hmm.
You have efficient Baker Mayfield operating. That is a really fun team to watch. And look, points, points, points. You took the over in that one, right? Is that the one you took the over in?
No, I took the over in, oh God, what was it?
Well, that's the over under there. The total's there is 50.5. I mean,
Chargers-Texans was Chargers, the one I went against the grain, took it there.
We're going to get points, 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 mm-hmm. points, because Jane Daniels and the Washington Commanders have been playing all really close games. And the poise that we've seen out of Jane Daniels being a rookie,
unlike anything we may have ever seen,
end of games has been unbelievable.
But what's the last... Not even rookie, young player. Player in their first 2 or 3 years.
Well, C.J. Stroud last year was that guy. Like, where you were just like, yep, trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Burrow is another guy that you just had this faith in. And if you go first 2 years, Mahomes would obviously be one because he came in that second year and was starting. But it's the guys that we're naming are just elite. Named. Right?
That's the thing, man.
They're elite.
Like, I was not a Jaden Daniels guy coming in this year. I was like, I don't know, man. I just, all of the stuff coming out of Arizona State and then, you know, what we've seen from LSU guys, and not quarterbacks, but just players, track records coming out of there, Kyron Lacy, you know, just stuff that you don't trust. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the stink of others gets on them, but it does, and that's the nature of that beast. And I don't think I've ever done a bigger 180 on a player in the NFL quicker than I have Jade. It took maybe 3 weeks for me to just be all in on him.
He has been really fun to watch, and he's been consistently good all season long as a rookie. And, you know, Terry McLaurin and they came out of the gate with a really good rapport. And I like Dan Quinn too. I'm actually, this Commanders franchise, that was a franchise that you would just, it was easy to hate when Dan Snyder was the coach. Or the coach, when Dan Snyder was the owner. Daniel Snyder was one of the more slimy owners in all of sports. And that's saying something.
Yes.
And he probably was like the one that gave you the most ick.
Yeah.
Right.
When we were in DC, we heard even more stuff behind the scenes, and it was just like, oh my God.
But the whole entire franchise, from ownership to Dan Quinn to their quarterback in Jaden Daniels, it's like now becoming a much more likable franchise.
Yeah.
And they just need to change the name, get the stink of Dan Snyder off of them forever.
Entirely.
And they can move forward.
And they got the approval process for the new stadium.
It'll be an awesome, awesome franchise to root for because they have a lot of likable pieces there.
All right, coming up next, let's keep it up on in the NFL. We still have a lot to discuss. Which of the underdogs, the biggest underdogs, as it were, in the seeding, the Packers and Broncos, present the biggest challenges in the wild card weekend? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, according to the bracket, the two biggest underdogs heading into wild card weekend are the Packers taking on the Eagles and the Broncos taking on the Bills. It's pretty easy to see.
Well, outside of the Steelers, right? Aren't Steelers?
Well, no. I'm saying in the bracket.
Two-seven
matchups. You're not so traditional 2-7 matchup between the Eagles and Packers, and your more traditional matchup of 2-7 between the Bills and Broncos. Even though there's a sizable gap, I think, between where those franchises are, which one of these teams does have the best chance to kind of pull the upset, in your opinion?
Packers. The Packers do because, look, both of these quarterbacks are dinged up heading into this thing, right? Jalen Hurts hasn't played since December 22nd, before Christmas. Jordan Love had that elbow injury where apparently he's having some nerve issues and some tingling down his throwing arm. And both are on track to play, but, you know, you are one injury away from it all falling apart. The team that I trust more is the one at home and the one that can run the football effectively. You look at how much differently and how much more the Philadelphia Eagles have opened up their run game and kind of adapted to life with Saquon Barkley since the first time that these two teams met in Brazil to kick off the season, right? Where Philly won that game as well. I think that we've seen more growth from Philadelphia, but Green Bay has got a better opportunity to win. Because, look, for me, it comes down to winning in the playoffs is different. It's learned, right? And that's why I like Tampa more than I like Washington, is because there's a lot of unfamiliarity from Washington and getting into the postseason and playing. With Green Bay, they know this life. This is what they're used to doing, is going to the playoffs and being on these stages and in these moments.
They do it damn near every year.
On the flip side of that, that Denver and Buffalo matchup, you got a rookie quarterback in a roster that they haven't seen the last playoff game.
No, they're all very young.
For Denver. Because last time they won a playoff game was the year they won the Super Bowl, for goodness sakes. And I don't think they've been to the playoffs since 2018. But you have a rookie quarterback, and as great as their defense has been, as good as their offensive line has played, you know, you're going to have your shortfalls. But, I mean, as styles make fights, Denver could make it interesting, because I have a really tough time, because Patrick Surtain II, he is one of the best corners in the NFL.
First team All-Pro, he was voted the number one corner in the league.
He is a guy that he can eliminate a bona fide number one receiver. Mm-hmm. But what does Buffalo not have, right?
They take what you give them.
And that is like, does that kind of hinder, and can you game plan a little bit better for, hey, we don't have a number one that we need to feed the ball to. When we're in desperation mode, it's not like we have a guy that we lock on and it's Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or anything.
Josh Allen,
guys,
go
right?
Make a play.
It is take what the defense gives you, but what can be taken away is those one-on-one matchups that you create formationally, right? Whether it is you line up with, you know, three receivers on one side and two on the other, or you line up in a doubles formation where you got two equal on one side and you motion a guy over and you create a one-on-one on that side. When you're creating that one-on-one and Patrick Surtain is the guy that's over there and you want to hit that out, or you want to get a one-on-one curl or a post, you ain't going to get it because Patrick Surtain can take it away from you. So that's an interesting one that I look at and I say, I don't know how advantageous it can be. The other thing is, when you have a veteran quarterback, and like rookie quarterbacks, and what is so hard for them in the playoffs is it's not just the stage and the fact that every NFL player says there's a different speed from preseason to the regular season to the playoffs. It's not just the speed of the playoffs. It is when you have a rookie quarterback and you are a playoff caliber team, you're unloading your offense all season long because you have to do it to get there. Mm-hmm. And your best shot is every week with that guy. Also, with the way that Denver's been playing, they have a lot of RPO game, mm-hmm. which can give you balance. But if you give a team enough tape, they can narrow it down to, all right, what do we need to take away to be the most successful? So when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, who has been in the system, and although Joe Brady is really in his first year as a full-time play caller for Buffalo, they've been together for multiple years.
Sure.
And Josh Allen has been in that system for multiple years. And what you can do is you can go back to, hey, what did we do 3 years ago? You know, in the middle of a game, you could throw that in and your quarterback's like, yep, got it.
It's not new. It's not fresh. It's recall.
Because the concepts, like, you can call anything and the routes aren't changing for the receivers, mm-hmm. right? They know where to go and, you know, how to run it. But it's the combination of different routes and your quarterback's progression through them. And if you have a veteran quarterback, that's where they're the most special, mm-hmm. is that they can sit there. They could be like, all right, yes, I remember exactly what my progression needs to be, how I look off the defense. And if we get a look that we weren't expecting, you can adapt on the fly.
The with tendency mm-hmm. records.
With a rookie quarterback, you don't have that bank of knowledge to go back to.
Especially with a guy like Sean Payton, who already has you going through so much.
Yeah, and like, that's the big thing.
That was the it was Chase Daniel that had the Sean Payton playbook. You remember when he went into that?
It was just the install.
The install was an inch and a half thick, and it was just the verbiage, and it was just the reads. Like, this wasn't even getting into, like, the actual playbook. Like, that's the thing about Sean Payton that is so difficult, but also can be rewarding if you have a quarterback that can execute it, is that once you get that knowledge base going, to your point,
no doubt,
it is this wealth of data and information that you can pull from, but without the experience to balance it out, that pool gets a lot shallower.
One thing that I'd be very excited about if I'm a Broncos fan, though, is that Bo Nix and Sean Payton, with everything that he asks his quarterbacks to do, mm-hmm. Bo Nix, as a rookie, he's had a couple bumps, but this year has gone about as good as you can go.
He's not making the same mistakes.
A retention mm-hmm. of everything that Sean Payton throws at him, like everything that he has been asked to do, he has checked every single box. And so when they get to year two, year three, year four, all of the things that we were talking about, that the benefits that Josh Allen has alongside Joe Brady and that wealth of knowledge, you can have that with Bo Nix, because he's showing that's not an issue for him this year. Being asked to do a lot, to retain a lot, to process a lot, it has not been an issue at any point this season for Bo Nix. So if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm happy that I'm in the playoffs this year, but I'm really more excited for what could be down the road, especially if you get a game-breaking wide receiver to add to the mix.
How do the Broncos win this game? is there a clear path?
Yeah, well, you disrupt Josh Allen. Like, look, Buffalo doesn't give up sacks. No. And big part of that is because of the threat to run from Josh Allen.
And he can tackle.
He can create and make sure that a negative play turns into a wash or a positive. Mm-hmm. But Denver, if they can touch him up and they can corral him and they can, as we hear quite often, the cage of the quarterback and force him to step up into the pocket, the more you do that, the better off you're going to be. But you have got to make sure you touch up Josh Allen. That's the only way that you do it, because if you're getting him in the backfield, and this is a Denver team that leads the NFL by 9 sacks over the next closest in the league, they've done it all season long, but you have got to be able to get him in the backfield, because when you touch him up in the backfield, you're getting more hits on him, and he's going to have less of a propensity to run the ball later in the game.
You've got Ravens Steelers as well. This is the largest margin, largest spread game of the weekend. Historically, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, whether it's Harbaugh or Tomlin, coming into this matchup, I believe, who won the last game?
Baltimore.
So Harbaugh is now up 1, because going into that game, head-to-head, Harbaugh and Tomlin were tied. In wins and losses, including playoffs and regular season.
And look, Pittsburgh's won 4 of the last 5 in this, with that last one going Baltimore's way.
And the insane thing was, coming into that game last time, the points scored and points allowed were the same.
Yeah.
That's how tight this series has been between these two franchises and these two coaches. Now, you can't, you know, factor in what it looked like 12 years ago mm-hmm. and say that counts. But it does factor into, like, when you look at when one coach looks across the field at the other, they know what their tendencies are. They, regardless of personnel, they know generally what they're thinking and what they're going to try to do, because they've played against each other yep. so many times. And it's going to come down to guys making plays. Do the Steelers have enough to make the plays to make this a game?
No. But here's the thing. It's been super weird, because when Pittsburgh was so efficient when they were rolling, right? Russell Wilson and George Pickens were on the same page, and they were like lighting it up, and they looked very comfortable. George Pickens got hurt, and in the 2 games since he's been back, their rhythm has not been the same, because Pickens has been targeted 13 times the last 2 games. He has 4 catches for 50 yards, no touchdowns. He's been targeted 13 times. There were games where he was getting 11, 12 targets in a single mm-hmm. game. and it's been the last two, it's only been 13. If Russ, and Russ has looked off like the last month of the
year.
I'd say even two months. And week 18 was not pretty for him, where I think he barely completed half of his passes.
Father Time seems to be nipping at his ankles.
But if he and George Pickens can get back on that same page and they can get it to click, they're going to have a chance, right? They will have a chance. But I think the big thing here is, what does Baltimore's offense look like without Zay Flowers? Since Zay Flowers has been ruled out with injury, now that's your deep threat, right? Where you're taking not just a corner out, but safety support has got to always be aware of where Zay Flowers is, because he's going to stretch you vertically. Now, without Zay Flowers, is the run game now, are the safeties starting to come up, and can you crowd the box a little bit more? Because that threat is not quite there. Last time these two teams played, Baltimore ran for 220 yards.
Let's say,
they ran it down their throats.
Derrick Henry's the kind of guy who doesn't matter what your scheme is, what your personnel is. That guy ran the ball with no quarterback, no wide receiver for 8 years.
And the run defense has got to be way better for Pittsburgh than it was, especially the last time they played. But really, last stretch of the year, you look like they've been kind of been wearing down a little bit. But is that more of, we're ramping up for the playoffs as opposed to wearing down as the season goes on, right? And kind of saving our bodies. No, it's not the most important thing in the world. This matchup's going to be really fun tomorrow night. But I'm excited for it, because remember when we were questioning Baltimore's defense? I heard this earlier this week. Their defense, since week 11, they moved Kyle Hamilton to free safety, has been number one in the league.
Yeah, and they ended the season with two first-team All-Pros, one at safety, one at linebacker, and Kyle Hamilton finished second-team All-Pro.
And he's a quarterback back there. And that's at getting everything set, and everything's been way more buttoned up in the back end. And he's also allowed to play free safety and come up and be in run support. He's been a game changer for them.
It never made any sense. We talked about this so many times with the Ravens this year. How do they have so many guys that are top end personnel, and they were just that bad defensively? It didn't make any sense. Yeah. I'm sitting there looking at the roster going, make this make sense to me, because I can't justify it.
It does now with Kyle Hamilton playing a more loose and free role. All these games are going to be intriguing. The Rams and the Vikings it's just like you have so many unknowns, right?
And I remembered what it was that when we were talking about this game the other day, I was like, there's something about that game that I can't remember. It went weird. It was the Sam Darnold face mask.
Oh, yeah.
Where he got his head ripped off and no flag was thrown.
Yeah.
That was the play. Like, I was like, what was it from that game that I remember thinking, that's the most egregious thing? And it was the Rams-Saints pass interference call that did not happen. Those are the two most egregious non-flags in football I think I have seen in the last 20 years.
Well, we had that hold last night in Penn State Notre Dame that wasn't called on that.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was a really bad one.
Pretty bad.
I mean, the jersey was being ripped off.
Yeah. I mean, we almost saw Sam Darnold's head get ripped off.
Countsies, no countsies.
That's interesting. Is there anything from that Rams-Vikings game other than, hey, the game's being moved to Arizona and this is going to be weird?
Yeah, well, no home field advantage, even though like people say, well, they don't have a home field advantage anyways. This one's literally going to be zero home field advantage. And you have a team that, you want to talk about distractions leading up to the playoffs.
They're homes.
Yeah, homes are on fire. Communities are on fire. Mm-hmm. Practice is all jacked up. And look, we should be talking about that with the Chargers as well. But it seems like nobody is. They're a little bit more further south, if I am correct, on where their headquarters are located.
But they've known all along where they're playing, though, too.
Yeah, and
but
that is a big one.
But they're players, though. Like, they live in the area, like, you know?
Yeah.
I just wonder if that's something that kind of almost galvanizes the teams inside a locker room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I think it's also interesting with Sean McVay basically saying, we don't care who we play in the first round, we're going to rest our guys week 18 because that's more important.
Yeah.
And so there is going to be a little bit more freshness for LA because they wrapped up the division week 17.
It's a good place to be.
And obviously Sam Darnold in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Really interested.
How that looks after the bounce back after last week or lack thereof. All right. Coming up next, it's Friday. It's 2:30, which means it's time for Jeff Ross. Here's the man himself. The Sports One update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
We were all gone for the holidays, football and everything else. Little drum roll, please. Jeff Ross makes his triumphant return here on a Football Friday on Danny Dusty. It's 2:30. Jeff Ross, get us started, sir.
How you doing?
So tonight we got the second semifinal game of this college football playoff. Number 8, Ohio State. Number 5, Texas. 4:30 kick on ESPN. We'll have it over on 910 ESPN Portland starting at 4. The Buckeyes are 6-point favorites. So who you got, Ohio State
or
Texas?
We can get into this one later, but mine's Ohio State.
I'm going hook 'em.
Both these defenses are elite. So which offense is better? Which special teams are better? Two of the three phases of the game, Ohio State has an advantage. And so I am going to go with Ohio State.
I like Ohio State. But it almost felt like Jeremiah Smith almost single-handedly took care of Oregon last time around.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. So he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
So is that Emeka Egbuka? Travion Henderson and that Quinshon Judkins?
Mm-hmm. Save it.
Pretty good.
Our final segment, we're going to talk about that game. Yeah. We'll hit on those.
Alrighty. Last night, number 7, Notre Dame eliminated number 6, Penn State, thanks to a game-winning field goal with 7 seconds left. Championship game coming up Monday, January 20th. Who is the better matchup for the Irish, the Buckeyes
or
the Longhorns?
Neither. They're both going to massacre that team.
No, this isn't one where you get to say neither. You have to pick one.
The better matchup for
the Irish.
For the Irish is Texas.
God.
It's Texas only because in Notre Dame's secondary is
very good.
Nasty.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you. The better matchup is Texas because of that reason, because there's no Jeremiah Smith out there for Texas.
Nope.
That's it. So the one advantage, quote unquote, that Notre Dame could create, Ohio State can nullify.
Yeah. Yeah. But they are going to be hard to score points.
Yeah. I think either one of those teams is going to boat race Notre Dame.
Browns quarterback.
No way. No way. You think that?
Yeah. Mr. U.S. Seaman. Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Surgery yesterday after tearing his Achilles for the second time since October 20th, possibly ending his 2025 season before that even got close. Per Spotrac, however the hell you say that, $44,274,996 of Watson's $46 million salary for 2025 is covered by insurance. Deshaun Watson, on a roster somewhere in 2026,
or
his career is over.
Best thing possible to happen to the Browns. They're going to get out of this.
Only if he plays nice with them, though. Yeah. Because this screams of injury settlement. Get him out of town. Yeah. They're going to have to take a hit still next year.
But it won't be,
like I said, on a roster somewhere.
But it won't be 4 years. I think an injury settlement is coming. You said in 2026?
Yes, because he's likely out for all of next season.
I think his career's over. Two ruptured Achilles? Nah, dog. You're done. On top of the shoulder, take your bag, take your injury settlement, do the Brandon Roy, except stay retired.
He just needs to disappear.
Yeah.
It'd be the best thing for Deshaun Watson just to go
and
move to another country.
Yeah. Take all of their money. All of their money, but have it be insurance money that doesn't count against their books.
Yeah.
Does he need to go find John McAfee?
Yeah.
You want
to go to Costa Rica and call it good. Buddy?
Yeah. Didn't McAfee die? Did he die?
I think he did.
John McAfee dead or alive?
I'm going to lean towards dead. I'm putting my money on dead.
Big money. Dusty looks that way.
Died. June 23rd, 2021.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, rest in peace.
Yeah.
The Eagles announced quarterback Jalen Hurts cleared concussion protocol. He's going to play Sunday against the Packers. The line has moved from Eagles 4.5 yesterday to -5.5 today. With Hurts back, the Eagles are a shoe-in.
Or
not so fast, my friend.
I think it's still not so fast, my friend, because that Eagles team, despite being as good as they are, they're dysfunctional as hell. I'm glad I got into the line. What we did, was it 4 or 4.5? It's because it's going up. I'm still comfortable with the line. This is the game that I trust the least.
I missed the question. I was reading about John McAfee.
With Jalen Hurts back, the Eagles are a shoe-in or not so fast, my friend.
Oh, yeah, shoe-in. I'll go with that.
All righty.
It's easy to get lost in the McAfee of it all.
He's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck announced today he's transferring to Miami.
Get jiggy
so
with it.
Beck, bienvenido a Miami. Beck will be the latest quarterback where a change of scenery makes a huge difference.
Or,
sure, Jan.
Oh.
I mean, Carson Beck is only a step above, okay, two steps above Drowler for me. So, I don't think it matters. I don't think either one of those guys have any future as NFL-level quarterbacks. I think they're college quarterbacks that have very distinct and real flaws. Is he going to be a fine college quarterback? Yes. Is his NFL future improving by going to Miami? Absolutely not.
I think he does improve his stock because the University of Miami plays in the ACC, okay? His schedule next year is Notre Dame out of the gate. Tough game. Bethune-Cookman, USF, Florida. Tough game. Florida State, Louisville, North Carolina State, Stanford, Syracuse, Pitt, SMU, Virginia Tech. He will look better just by playing in the ACC than playing in the SEC. So I'm going.
You sure? Those SEC teams all struggled.
Their defenses are better.
I know. I'm just,
their defenses are better.
See, I only put it that way because remember, you know, how Bo Nix was regarded before he transferred to Oregon.
No doubt about it.
You know, and
you're
that
not
was
wrong.
Quite the change.
You're not wrong.
The Blazers gave one away in the fourth quarter last night against the Mavericks. They're now 13-24 on the season, tied for the sixth worst record in the league. For those tank proponents, still too many wins.
Or
rest easy, Tankopotamus.
I'm going to read you guys this. Ooh. Trailblazers currently have more losses by 10 or more points, 14, than total wins. Nearly half of their wins, 6, have come by less than 5 points. 3 of the Blazers' 4 double-digit wins have come against the New Orleans Pelicans. They're fine.
Too many wins. I don't know.
They're fine.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. You said 4 were at the buzzer. Then give me 2 the other way.
Right.
You know, I know the players aren't tanking.
You let the bones fall where they may.
I'm not a player, so I wanted to, you know.
You just crush a lot?
Play hard and let's lose those games.
That's nicely done there, Dan.
I get one every now and then.
All righty. Well, that's it. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Ross. Where you can find every Friday night at 2:30-ish. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the college football playoff game between Ohio State and Texas and make our picks, which we kind of already did. Coming up next year on the Andy Dusty Today, the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers Report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trail Blazers did indeed fall to the Dallas Mavericks last night, completing a 5-game road trip, going 2-3, but still playing some of the best basketball of the season. Donovan Clingan had his second-best game of the season, both statistically and I think you can say holistically as well. 11 points, 11 rebounds, 2 block shots, 1 of 1 from 3, 4 of 4 from the field. May have been some tomfoolery with the officiating down the stretch, but for you Tankopotamuses out there, you got exactly what you wanted. You got the Blazers competing in every game on the road trip, delivering a win or two along the way, and cruising into the dog days of the basketball season without it being a complete blech.
I believe that would be Tankopotami.
Oh, Tankopotami, yes, as the plural, as it was, as it were. Thank you, Jeff Rust. The Portland Trailblazers come home for a 10-day homestand before a 3-game trip before finishing out the regular season before the All-Star break at home. The Trailblazers Report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway at AztecWillies.com.
Montana, looking, throwing in the end zone. Dwight Clark! It's a madhouse at Candlestick with 51 seconds left.
Well, on this date, 42 years ago versus the Dallas Cowboys in the 1981 NFC Championship game, Joe Montana found Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone for the catch. They would, of course, go on to beat the Bengals in Super Bowl 16.
RIP.
There you go.
Dwight Clark.
We have what is probably the national championship game in principle happening here in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State,
less
Texas.
Than a couple of hours.
That's yeah, 4:30, right?
4:30, yeah.
So 4:50.
Leave work early.
8 kickoff.
It was pretty.
Rose Bowl was always direct on.
It was like 4:40 that they kicked off.
Was it quicker?
Yeah.
I had the Blazers game going at the same time, so I was watching both.
It was like 4:40-ish. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just, if you have a kick time, start at that time.
Yes, I am a big opponent of that. You're picking Ohio State. I am picking Texas. We have both been steadfast since this summer of who the two best rosters in the country are. You have said Ohio State. I have said Texas. Now we get. I think we're both right. I think those are the two best rosters in the country. Now we get to see the team maybe with a higher-end quarterback in Quinn Ewers, although probably less consistent, more mistake-prone, versus the team with the more consistent coaching staff, which is it's insane to say about Ryan Day, but Sark is definitely not without his faults and drawbacks.
I don't think it is insane to say about Ryan Day.
No, it's the high-level gaffes that have bit him. It's the nothing else. It's just those.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's where it gets pushed out of reality.
Right.
But you have two insane rosters, two wild defenses, both the front and back ends. You get pass rushers for both that are absolutely dominant. Secondaries that are absolutely. I mean, this is NFL pick after NFL pick. This isn't like, hey, these are two good college teams. No, these two rosters are loaded with front end NFL talent on both sides.
They really are. And look, this one comes down for me to. I said it when I made the pick, right? The two defenses are elite. Mm-hmm. Both of them have been. All season long. Pete Kwiatkowski at Texas, Jim Knowles with Ohio State. They have been statistically all season long two of the best that we have seen in all of college football, right? The offenses, I give the advantage to Ohio State's offense. They've been more consistent. They've been better lately. And they have been explosive at the end of the season. Special teams, Ohio State has a nod because SEC championship game punting was an issue for Texas. Kicking field goals has been an issue all season long for the Longhorns. But the big one comes to both these teams have done a really good job of limiting explosive plays all season long. They are two of the best in all of college football, right? If you look all season long, fewest plays of over 30 yards in college football. Ohio State has only allowed 10 all season long. Texas has allowed 14. Okay.
Good God.
Here is why I
so
go.
Won a game.
Here's where I go with Ohio State, though. 7 of those 14 have come in the last 3 games for Texas.
Oh.
Only one has come for Ohio State, and that was Trayshon Holden's 44-yard reception in the Rose Bowl. With Utah in, by the way, game was in hand.
Yeah.
Game was in hand at that point. If you talk about which teams are playing the best right now, Ohio State is. That's not to say, like, I'm like, yep, Ohio State guaranteed. I'm not doing a Charles Barkley, put it on the post-it note and put it on the wall because this is going to be a hell of a football game. But if you look at the complete football team right now, it's Ohio State.
A little note from yesterday, I put out the poll on Danny and Dusty, at Danny and Dusty. Oregon Duck fans, do you want Ohio State to win it all or get run off the field by as many points as possible?
That's what I was just going to ask.
Do you know where this ended up?
I bet it was. It was going back and forth for a while.
45-55. Win it all came in at 45. Get embarrassed was 55. Shout out Duck fans for having a little bit of petty. Yeah.
See, like
closer than I thought. I thought win it all was going
to
take over.
To me, it would be nice to be like, hey, you know what? Yeah, they got kind of boat raced, but at least it was to the eventual national champions. But then on the other hand, I'm like, I cannot root for the Buckeyes tonight and hope for them to win. So it's, you know, and you know, there's a little part of me that has a soft spot for Sark, too. The man has fought through some demons, and it seems like he's come out pretty good on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm still not quite sure where I stand on tonight. I think I'm going to have to wait till the game starts and see where my emotions take me.
You can hope both teams play hard and both lose, right? Yeah. Can that happen?
Right. Well, it didn't happen last night with Penn State and Notre Dame.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just root for nobody to win.
Mm-hmm.
And how about that be how it goes? I think it's going to be a fun game. I can't wait. 4:30 ESPN. And then we get all football weekend.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
This is day number 2 of 5 of nothing but 5 days of football.
Yes. Inject it in my veins. You get Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens tomorrow. And then Broncos, Bills is the early one. And you have Eagles, Packers after that. And then what's the fifth game we got?
Vikings, Rams.
Vikings, Rams is on.
That's Monday night.
Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Brain fart.
I am too.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I am too. All right. Let's go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. These guys had a day off yesterday.
Mm-hmm. If you're watching on YouTube, you just got the behind shot of, yeah, of I Ever Rop.
Rop's butt.
Mm-hmm.
You got Rop's.
That's why you go to the YouTubes.
Rop's sexy buns on the YouTube streams. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Boing. Bleep. Meow.
It sucks a lot more when it's wet.
Help! Help! Bruce Hornsby!